So it's quite interesting that in the last 13 years, I have not had the zchus of doing what I did the first 5 years of my life of Rav Aaron's Patira. This is a humbling experience to give a shir, number one, in the sukkah, Baruch Hashem, although it doesn't look like I'm in the sukkah. What? A little bit. Might as well give. If I'm giving a shir, I should give him the sukkah. So it's a humbling experience to give a shir, Lazecher Nishmas, my Rebbe, Rav Aaron ben Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. For the first, I was in Rav Aaron's shir for 5 years, Baruch Hashem, through Smicha. And I'm here today really because of Rav Aaron, in the sense of, number one, I give all the credit to my father, Shlita. My father was a Talmud of Rav Aaron as well. And when I was moving on in my history in Yeshiva University, and I wanted to move shir, I had a bit of a problem. I was in Rav Meir Goldlich shir, and Rav Goldlich didn't want me to leave. So I consulted my father, and I said, I don't know what to do. I've tried Rav Shechter shir, Rabbi Willick shir, and he wasn't very happy. He wanted one of the, you know, Talmidim to stay. And he said, well, have you tried Rav Aaron Soloveitchik shir? And I laughed a little bit, because I said, oh, Rav Aaron's totally out of it. Everybody says Rav Aaron can't give shir anymore. And to understand, as we'll understand, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in 1983 had a debilitating stroke. We'll go through a little bit of his history, who Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was, so that you guys understand. But I want to give you more of my personal experiences with Rav Aaron, which I hopefully you'll take with you. And so he was paralyzed at the left side of his body. From my knowledge, he was the only Rosh Hashiva in the history of the world, despite being paralyzed, traveled weekly from Chicago, where he's the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Brisk in Chicago, to New York to give shir Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And I wanted to listen to my father's advice, even though I thought it was a little crazy, and I went to his shir. And I was very lucky because it happened to be a shir on the, it was a pilpul on Lashon Hara, so I was actually able to understand a little bit of it. And this is 100% hard to believe that this is true, but at the end of the shir, Rav Aaron looked at me. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik did not have a lot of people in his shir. It was less than 10. And they all were much, much older than me in the 20-plus range of, I was 20 years old and they were in their 40s. So it was obvious. I, you know, stuck out like a sore thumb. He stopped the shir when he was done. And he looked at me and he says, so, how did I do? And I was like very scared. And I'm like, what? He goes, you're testing me. You're trying to get into my shir. Happened to be Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, had a tremendous sense of humor. And then he looked at me closely and he says to me, how's your father? How's my father doing? And I'm like, oy vey. He clearly totally out of it because he doesn't know, he hasn't seen my father in years. And I looked at him again. He says, your father's Kalman Hartstein. And I was shocked. He says, you look like your father. And I was like, and I had this chus of, thank God, being pushed into shir. I had an amazing chavrusa. His name was Yisrael Balsam, who promised me that if I stayed in shir, he'd learn with me every day and explain the 80% of the shir that I didn't understand. And then when I graduated YU, Rav Aaron is very into having a profession. So he really wanted me to continue on, but he wanted me to go for smicha. So Rav Aaron said to me, I want you to go for smicha. And I remember laughing at him. So he says to me, what's so funny about that? So I said, Rebbe, first of all, you know, you have real all-star Talmidim. I said, I'm not a Talmud Chacham. And he looked at me and he says, are you calling me stupid? And I had no idea what he was talking about. And he says, you're a Talmud of a Chacham. I'm the Chacham, you're the Talmud. Call yourself a Talmud Chacham. Put me at ease in my, you know, what I think Rav Aaron was trying to do is he just wanted me to stay into Torah. And the first year we were learning Hilchos Nida. And I thought he just wanted me to learn Torah. And this way it would keep me working. And at night I would be going for Smicha. Baruch Hashem, I was zeicha to continue on for 4 more years. We had a little group of guys that were going together for smicha, Rav Aaron to give shir for over 2 hours on Wednesday nights. And even when I had gotten married and I lived in Teaneck, I was going in and learning from Rav Aaron. And as luck would have it, I was actually the last person to receive smicha from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. But partly, it's not such a great story. It sounds good. But when the when you get smicha, they write it on a cloth. So all the cloths came out. We had a little ceremony. It was like 8 people. But we had a little ceremony. Rav Aaron signed it. And he insisted. He says, I need to use a blue pen. So he said, Rebbe, why do you have to use a blue pen? It's Siyaina, you know, blue and white. He says, no, because a black pen you'll never see on the cloth. Blue, you'll always see that I really signed it. Anyway, after he signed my smicha, I realized that I was the only one on the top. He forgot to write three letters, Harav, which is kind of the smicha point. So they had to rewrite mine. So that's why I was the last person to get smicha, I guess. But then, and notably, it made sense. So who is Rav Aaron Soloveitchik? So we all know Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik is well quoted. He is the brother of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. And just so you understand what we're talking about here, the Shalshelos of Torah, Rav Aaron had a father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe was the Rosh Yeshiva in YU, famously was picked to come to YU to really make it into the universe, the place that it had become. And then, of course, after that, his brother took over, meaning Rav Aaron's brother, Rav Moshe's son, Rav Yosef Dov, the Rav. But their grandfather, in each generation, you get even more famous, I guess, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who really developed the way that we learn today. And from the Netziv, from the Beis Halevi, Rav Chaim Volozhin, and they held with the traditions of the Vilna Gaon, very, very, we'll discuss later in Shir. So we'll see the very interesting minhagim of the Gra in general, but when it came to Tefillin and Chol HaMoed, to kind of wrap things up. thank you. It's good. Okay. I didn't even know. No pun intended. Okay. But the pun was intended. Okay. So, just a little bit. Again, I don't want to give a history because it's not for now. You can go online and read any history book of who Rav Aaron was, but to explain to you in my opinion, how to define Rav Aaron. So if I had to pick one word to define Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, it would be emes. He sought for emes, and I think who I am today really defined me and why I'm giving business ethics shiurim is really because that's who Rav Aaron was. It was all about emes, and he didn't care what other people believed. He didn't care if it wasn't, for example, you know, going against the Vietnam War when it was very not politically correct. He didn't care what people thought, right? Nowadays, I don't know how this would exist. But one of his famous was his Hashgach V'Shurim. And when he gave Hashgach V'Shurim, I remember because we had 10 people in Shir, and on Thursdays when he would start Hashgach V'Shir, there would be like 50, if not more, people to listen to the Parsha and to listen to what he had to say about presidents, about whoever it might be. He had a very, very strong connection to Eretz Yisrael, to Medinas Yisrael. Love for Medinas Yisrael. He had planned on moving here to Eretz Yisrael. He has a son, Rav Chaim Baruch Hashem, who I'm close with, who lives here in Ramat Beit Shemesh. He had a home here. And he was really, really loved and wanted to move here and loved every moment that he spent here. He had a very, very close Talmud that was here, unfortunately, who died al Kiddush Hashem, Dr. Applebaum, who helped in writing his Sfarim's Perech Mata Aron on the Rambam, which I just as a parenthetical note, I remember this is Rav Aaron spent a lot of time writing these, and he had these notebooks, and he would just be writing all the time. And one week, so he would be coming, as I said, he came every week from Chicago by himself. People would pick him up at the airport, and he would come in, and you would open his suitcase, and where is the notebook? And one week, unfortunately, the notebook was not packed, and he was very distraught. Because there was all of his notes, and this is what he was, his life work was writing about the Rambam, Chidushim on the Rambam. And at some point he said, okay, what are you going to do? He says, go buy me a notebook. So we went across the street, we bought him a notebook, and he started writing. We didn't think anything about it. And lo and behold, we found out the week later that what he had written in that notebook was exactly the same as the notebook that he had at home. He rewrote everything that he had already said. That's Rav Aaron. But this midah of emes was the amiso shel Torah, right? He would stop shir sometimes if a guy had a very good question and to get to the emes of Torah and say, wait, let's develop that. But the Torah of his father and specifically his grandfather, there wasn't almost a shir. I'm zoicha that the Chedushe Rav Chaim I have in my house was the one that Rav Aaron would use in shir because it was a little bit of a newer edition. And he would insist, he says, look on with me. And Rav Aaron would tell over things that were unbelievable. Some of them were not in Rav Chaim. And I remember once, thank God we had this Yisrael Balsam in Shir, and he would say, Rebbe, how could this be? There's no way Rav Chaim ever said. He was a little bit of a chutzpah, but it was good to have him in shir because he would push Rav Aaron. And he said, how do you know this? It's not in Rav Chaim Sefer. How do you know Rav Chaim said this? And he looked at him and he says, I will tell you how I know. I learned it from my father, who learned it from his father, who was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So sit down and be quiet. You know, like, I just schooled you, right? I'm like, that's Rav Aaron. Rav Mordechai Gifter once said that something back in the 70s, there was a country in Africa called Biafra, and it was a country where they were being persecuted. And Rav Aaron spoke out about it. And Rav Gifter said, it's not that Rav Aaron was the only Rosh Yeshiva to ever speak out about the injustice of Biafra. He's the only Rosh Yeshiva ever heard of the country, right? And he was very into, I remember, I probably was the only Rosh Yeshiva that I knew, certainly in YU, he insisted in having cable in his apartment. He had an apartment in Yeshiva University in Reuben, so you knew what was going on. At the time when I was going for Smicha, I was working for the Ministry of Defense of Israel, and unfortunately for me, Rav Aaron thought I was more important than I was. I just was a little two-bit worker. And whenever I would come in, I would dafka try to come a half hour early so I could schmooze with Rav Aaron. He loved Baruch Hashem schmoozing. I had a lot of awesome lunch meetings where I would eat lunch with him. He would sometimes make fun of my tuna sandwich. He goes, your tuna sandwich smells. Dove, why? Yeah. Anyway, so he would ask me, what's going on in the government? What's going on? As if I knew anything. I didn't know what to say. I'll tell you one amazing story, which just shows you the godless of Rav Aaron and how people knew him. One time, at that time, Bibi Netanyahu, you can imagine, this goes back more than 20 years ago, he was prime minister. He had been prime minister for quite some time, on and off. And he says, he comes to me and he says, I hear that Bibi's coming to town. And I actually knew this because we were setting up the possibility that maybe he was going to come to New York, which he ended up not coming. He says, I want to meet him. I'm like, okay. Why are you asking me? He goes, you have connections. I go, no, I don't. I don't have no connection to Bibi Netanyahu. So I said, I'll do my hashtadlis. I said, Rebbe, okay, I'm going to do what I can. So I go into my office and I go to my boss and I said to him, listen, I have to just pretend like I did something, so I'm just going to tell you. My Rebbe's Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Oh, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, I mean, Makiroto, I know who he is. I go, no, not Rav Yosef Dov Rav Aaron. He goes, I know Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is. He says, I'm going to put some calls in. I'm like, okay, whatever. And that was it. I didn't think about it. I get a few days later a call. Total prank call, I'm sure of it, from some lady, and she says, hi, I'm calling from the Prime Minister's office. You're setting up the meeting with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik and Prime Minister Netanyahu, and I'm like, who is this? You know, for sure a joke. And it wasn't, and I couldn't believe it. And she said, unfortunately, on this trip, Bibi will only be in Washington, but he's very happy to meet with him in Washington. I was shocked, and I was so excited. I'm like, I can't believe it. I thought it was important. So I remember calling the Rebbetzin in Chicago, and she said to me, can you please do me a favor? I don't want Rebbe to get on a plane and go all the way to Washington. I know this is not appropriate for you as a Talmud, but tell him the meeting, you couldn't have the meeting work out, whatever. Years later, I think that he knew, because he said something to me, and I'm not sure. But he had a lot of power. He cared about so many individuals. And it's really, truly an amazing thing. Rav Aaron actually was 12 years old. His father moved to YU. He was still in Warsaw. And he had an amazing melamed. His name is Rav Yitzchak Huttner, who would become the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, where he worked, I believe he worked there for a good number of years as a Rebbe. Rav Aaron learned in Chaim Berlin. He was a Rebbe there. And he taught him. He was his melamed, which is an amazing melamed to have. He had another amazing melamed. When he came to America, he didn't know English. So Rabbi Miller, Rav Victor Miller, was famous as well, taught him English. And they had very close relationships for many, many years. He was cousins with Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he treated Rav Moshe very, very, they were very close. And there was no shiloh. Like he always, Rav Moshe said something. I remember in Shir, you couldn't go out against anything that he said. It was well known, Rav Aaron's great genius. Well back when, he actually met the great Rav Chaim Ozer. But he also had this very, very sharp sense of humor. I remember once, unfortunately, for me, I had to drive him to a bar mitzvah. And why I was unfortunate is because I just started driving. I wasn't so good at it. And again, I tried to make, you know, I said, oh, I'm going to try to get a car. And I asked people, and I'm like, oh, for Rav Aaron here, you can take my car. I'm like, oh, no. So I remember I had to drive him to Brooklyn. It's hard to believe. This is before Waze. I had no idea how to get to Brooklyn. I was so scared. Baruch Hashem, we got there. And I think Rav Aaron saw how scared I was. And he's sitting in the front seat with me. And I remember he looked at me and he's like wanted me to calm down. And he says to me, Nu, Dov, who are the full four bubbas? And I'm like, oh, that's easy. I think I can get this one. Sar Rivka Rachaler goes, no. You know, Bava Metzia. Oh, yeah, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, Bava Kama. What's the fourth one? And he looks at me and he goes, the fourth one is Bava Maisa. And he started, for Rebbe, that's really funny. And he started laughing and I laughed and he calmed me down. I was Ravaran. Calm down, it's okay. The humbleness of who Ravaran was amazing. And he taught us, as we spoke about MS, one of the great lines, this sits with me all the time, is a line he quoted from his grandfather, Rav Chaim. He said that Frum is a Galach. It's Yiddish, don't worry, we're a little Yiddish now. Galach means a priest. The word Frum, religious, anybody could be religious. You can call yourself, I'm religious, right? But you can go to Beit Jamal now and meet very religious monks, whatever they have over there, right? Priests, yeah. That's religious. Frum is a galach. But a Jew, he says, is erlach. What's erlach? Straight, righteous. He says there are many Jews there are many frum Jews in jail. There are no erlach Jews in jail. The life that he wanted us to live is erlach, straight, righteous. He spoke a lot about the iser of chil Hashem. He spoke about how chil Hashem, dying al chil Hashem is, dying al kiddush Hashem, I'm sorry, is a huge mitzvah, but discussed in one halach in the Rambam. The Rambam discusses many other halachas of how we live al kiddush Hashem. One incident I remember, there was a driver, he came very late to shir once. He used to come to shir Tuesdays, he would come just about to shir at 1 o'clock. He gave shir for about 2.5 hours. I can't understand until today how it was possible I stayed. Can you imagine, guys? 2.5 hours of shir. I loved every second of it. I can't know how. If I sit in a shir now more than 45 minutes, I want to shoot myself. I actually start writing down ways to commit suicide. You know, like my son's at yeshiva once, they had a shir klali, and it was 1.5 hours long. And after like an hour, I didn't know what to do with myself. I started writing down, you know, like, here's how I will, these are the ways. Fine. So that's how he gave shir. So one day he was very late, and he didn't have a cell phone in those days. We didn't know how to track him down. He finally arrives, and he's in a horrible mood. And he comes in, he says, Rebbe, what happened? He says, you're not going to believe this. An anti-Semit. The guy that took him, the driver, was an anti-Semite. And he was literally, he was taking him around in circles. And, it was terrible. He says, I was so upset, I only gave him a $10 tip. And we're all like, $10 tip? It was New York. You give him nothing, and then you kick the door on the way out, right? And I remember saying this to him. I was always the chutzpah guy in this year. And he looked at me and he said, you see, I'll tell you the difference between you and I. Look at you. You're clean shaven with a little yarmulke. I have a beard. I wear a hat. I have payas. He's going to go back to wherever he's from and say, this Jew's, the guy didn't even give me a tip. I drove him so nicely. No. I want him to know that we're going to give it, right? Kiddush Hashem. That's what Rav Aaron was about. Rav Aaron taught me a love for family. Specifically his wife. His Rebbetzin was his right hand. I remember every time after Shir, he would insist right after Ma'ariv. I always was the guy who davened Ma'ariv because he said he liked when I davened Ma'ariv because it was quick. Because I got to call Ella. I got to call him the Rebbetzin. And he would call the Rebbetzin and he would say, you're not going to believe this. I gave Shir today for 2.5 hours and I just gave Smicha Shir to the boys. The relationship, and sometimes when she would come in with him, you saw this unbelievable love, and I have to say, I think that is unfortunately why Rav Aaron passed away. His Rebbetzin passed away 2 months before him. He came in once for Shir after that, and he was just dejected. He was sad. There were no more jokes. And I remember saying, it was right before Rosh Hashanah, and I remember the whole Shir said, he's not doing well. His wife passed away. It was Mamash Ezer Kenegdo. And I remember once they wanted him to give a Yurtzeit Shir for his brother. And I remember because I was in when the different people who were organizing it came in and asked him. And he said, I have to call my wife to find out if I can come in a day early. And he came in. And I remember that morning of Shir, he was giving it at night. So he said, Rebbe, why don't you practice Shir with us? He says, no, it's going to be an easy Shir. My Rebbetzin said I can only speak for a half hour because it's the night and I have to go to sleep. But we said, Rebbe, the Shir is supposed to be for an hour. He says, my Rebbetzin said. And he gave exactly a half hour shir. He wouldn't let, and afterwards people try to like get him to ask questions. I have to leave. That's the closeness he had. I'll tell you a personal, unbelievable story, which is a little bit sad, but my reality of my life. So Rav Aaron was supposed to be my Masada Kedushin. my wife often would point out to her, she said, you know, my sister-in-law at their wedding, so they had a little fiasco. The chuppah collapsed in the middle. Pretty cool. It collapsed in the middle. So she said, bah, thank God we had nothing happen at our wedding. I said, what do you mean we had nothing bad happen at our wedding? The Masada Kedusha didn't show up. What happened? So what happened was is that I was getting married on a Sunday, and I knew that it was not easy for Rav Aaron. So I called the Rebbetzin and I said, listen, and she said to me, I have no choice. He wants to come in. He's been talking about it. He's coming in. So I had his grandson pick him up, who's now very famous, Meir Soloveitchik, and another guy also to go with him, just to make sure, because I was very nervous. Unfortunately, the flight landed a half hour early. So when these guys got there, they missed Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron got into a cab to go. He knew it was in Staten Island, where I got married. And the guy said, where to? Once he got over the bridge. And he said, the kosher catering hall in Staten Island. And the driver's like, there are only Italians in Staten Island. What are you talking about? There are no Jews there. He goes, no, I know. And all of a sudden, the driver thought in his mind, I think this guy must be senile. There's something wrong with him. He saw that he was Nebuch the way he walked. And he got very nervous. And he pulled over and he called the police. And he said, this is my wedding. And he calls the police. This was actually in the Jerusalem Post. And the police come. And he says, I got this crazy guy, whatever. And he says, no, I'm going to a wedding, you know. He says, it's in my, and he had the invitation, he thought, in his suitcase. They looked in his suitcase, couldn't find it. So they thought he was totally out of it. So they went to him and they said, mister, who's the president of the United States? And Rav Aaron looked at them and he says, I will not tell you who the president is. I will tell you all the presidents. I will start with him. He starts going, watching, looking again. He goes, and did you know Adams? And then, and he's, and the police were like, okay, this guy's really with it. Unfortunately, he didn't know where the wedding was. So he knew YU. So he went back to YU. On his way to YU, the guys were looking for him, whatever. And literally, I was like this, about to walk down with my parents. And my friend comes to me and he says, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's missing. And it's because of you, you know? And so he didn't come to my wedding. But, Hashem wanted it that way. Rav Aaron was someone who cared about every individual. For many, many years, he would make Havdalah over the phone, even though halachically he knew it wasn't the best thing, for an almana, a woman who would have come to Rav Aaron's house, but he said he felt bad, it was embarrassing for her, and he said it's worth the heter to not make her embarrassed. When I was in Shir, one Sukkot, he came here to Eretz Yisrael. It was when Rabin was doing the Oslo Accords. And he insisted on having a meeting with Rabin, which amazingly they set up. And I remember him telling us about this meeting, which was very sad because his security people were not very nice to him. And they made Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron was, as I said, paralyzed. He couldn't walk. When Rav Aaron would come into Shir, it was an amazing sight that it's hard to describe. He would walk from where I am now to the door, would take him maybe 20 minutes. And he would walk and he would say, achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim, achas. And it was so, and he wouldn't let anybody help him the times that he was still walking. And the moment he sat down, he would always throw his hat off. When he started shir, he used to have his hand would shake. It was unbelievable. There was nothing. He was back in, you know, back in brisk. It was back in, I can't explain it to you. And the moment shir was over, he would get his hat to daven mincha. I would always daven mincha also because I was quick. And again, he would start shaking again. That was a Rav Aaron. So when he went, they insisted, they didn't want him to take his walker with him to meet the prime minister. They said maybe there's something in it. They made him walk. It was very, very difficult story. He said, and Prime Minister Rabin showed great, great cover to him. He was actually very, very close with Ariel Sharon, because Ariel Sharon was a brisker. I remember a number of the dinners for Yeshiva Brisk, Ariel Sharon used to come there. So I remember one year, I was working in the Ministry of Defense, and Ariel Sharon, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was the Minister of Defense, I think, at the time? It was somebody important. So it happened to be that somebody from my office was guarding him. I knew him, and he says, you want to go meet him? I'll let you meet him, huh? So I was so excited, so I went up to him, I have a picture with him, and I go up to him, and I go, Ani oved b'misrad ha'bitachon. And Sharon looked at me and he goes, Azma. I'm like, well, I don't care. Get out of my face. Anyway, that was my story. But so he meets Rabin and he says to him, He says, Yesha kolom olamo b'shas achas. There's a person who's able to get olam haba b'shas achas. If you renege on this Oslo Accord, I promise you, you'll get olam haba. And he said to him, he looked at him like, he was crazy. And he says, I'm begging you to please, you don't know what repercussions the Oslo Accords will have on Klal Yisrael. I want to wish you a good yontif, and that's it. And I remember asking Rav Aaron, why did you do that? You knew it would have zero effect. He said, because I want to know that I tried, that I did something. That's what Rav Aaron was. I tried, I did something. Rav Aaron explains that the highest level of Simcha's base, of Simcha was Simcha's Beis HaShoeva. Something that unfortunately we don't experience the way that we should. The Gemara tells us, on Gemara in Sukkah says what? If you didn't see the Simcha's Beis HaShoeva, you didn't see true Simcha. But what was so special about it, says Rav Aaron? After all, what was it? It was simply what? Nisach HaMayim. Yeah, it was Yayin, Nisach HaYayin. It's interesting, Rav Aaron points out that the Sadducees wanted to take out they only wanted the Yayin part, because Yayin makes sense. Yayin Yismach V'Lev Avnosh says until him. Right? Wine makes us a little shikker, a little drunk. That's when we're really happy. No. Says Rav Aaron, you know what happiness is? The simplicity. The simple things. That's why we had Nisach HaMayim. Mayim is the most simple thing that we take for granted the most. A number of months ago, mamish right before COVID, in January. So I was at an event, the Yarche Kala, for NCSY's Yarche Kala. Baruch Hashem, we had the great tzichus. Were you there? Yeah. So we were able to go to the Siyum HaShas. And then one day, Rav Meir Soloveitchik spoke. So I went up to him, I said, Meir, you don't remember, we were in Shir together. And he says, you know, thank you for bringing up my Rebbe, my grandfather, Rav Aaron. He said, I'm thinking about, that was the time where there was tremendous amount of anti-Semitism. He says, I always think to myself, when something happens, how would Rav Aaron respond? I think about COVID, what would Rav Aaron's message be? This would be the message. Simplicity. There are many people, and I get it. You're stuck here in yeshiva, you're like, ugh. You're locked down, and guys aren't happy now. Guys are sad. So how can I be happy during Simcha? How can I be happy on Sukkot? How can you command me to be happy? And the answer, says Rav Aaron, is the simplicity of the simple things we take for granted. We have health. We have family, Baruch Hashem. We have water. The most simplistic thing. We take it for granted. That's what Shemini Atzeres Seres is all about. We're going to have this whole ceremony we had of Nisach, right? But we will daven for rain. It's not so poshut in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because the most simplistic is what we ask Hashem for. I'll just end off. Rav Aaron also said in the same idea that Hillel famously says the words in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Em ani kan hakol kan. Em ani kan mikan. It's a very strange term that Hillel said. He walked into the Simchas Beis HaShoeva and basically says, I'm here. Now we can have fun because I'm here. Like, how can you say that? And Rav Aaron goes on, I'll say it very quickly, but he says, you have to show your personality. What is your ani in this world? Recognizing the kan, where you are. Because we all know that if we put ourselves in bad situations, so that's how we react a lot of times. The Chinuch's famous line, Acher pulasol nimshach halavavos. My actions follow my heart. What's my kan? Where am I in life? We come out to the sukkah and say, wow, I could be Nebuch here. I could be living outside. I have a room that has air conditioning. Guys, you know when the yeshiva first started, there was no air conditioning in any of the rooms? Mr. Naaman thought that was okay? Some crazy guy who was director of finance fought for it very hard for you? And you don't even thank him? No. So Rav Aaron says, what is your kan? What is your ani? What is your kan? Where are you in life? Who are you? You have to decide for yourself, what's my ani? It's different. Rav Aaron was very into being different. He always spoke about it as my go-to Dvar Torah. He says this every year, Parshas Ba'aloischa and Chanukah. The menorah. The introduction, he says, he quotes the Chovas HaLevavos, his introduction. But he says the concept of the menorah is every branch is something else. Math, science. He goes, it's fine. Rav Aaron believed, Rav Aaron went with Dr. Fred Rosner, who was a famous doctor, for years to learn medicine. Because he said, I can't paskin halacha unless I know medicine. He thought it was so important to know what's going on in the world because he says, I have to know the world. He says, Rav Aaron had a degree from NYU Law School. He said, who knows if this is going to work out? Maybe the Rebbe thing wouldn't work out. That's what we have to think to ourselves about. It's very important, Rabbi Yisai, to think in our lives, who are we? But the center, says Rav Aaron, is the menorah, is what? The shamash, the Torah. There are a lot of things you can do in life. There are people who are lawyers. There are people who are doctors. There are all different types of people. But what's your center? What's your ani? Who are you? Do you recognize the simplicity? Do you thank Hashem for the simple things? That's why we're here now. Se'al demnusa, the Rabbanu Shalom's raining upon us, still here from Yom Kippur. He's still here. The Shekhinah is closer than it ever is. But it's God part of my life. That's what Rav Aaron taught me. He taught me to appreciate and to always go out and seek emes. So Mitzvah Shem, those who want and should read up on who Rav Aaron was, I have the great schus of having a son named for Rav Aaron. When it was his bar mitzvah, Rav Chaim said, tell me where the bar mitzvah, I have to come. It's very important. And in many ways, and I'll end with this, in many ways I think that if anyone should be giving a shir, L'zecher Nishmas Rav Aaron, the last person should be me. But then again, I think I should be the first person. Because everybody else tells the exalted stories of Rav Aaron, knowing them as a Rebbe. I was a Talmud because he called me a Talmud. But I think I'm a regular person who learned from a Rebbe the way to live life. What emes is. What it is to seek the ani. Who am I? With the Khan, with where I am today. And understanding what true simcha is. That's, I think, the essential focus.